Well, believe it or not, we are 2 weeks out of this election. Hard to believe, but it is true. One of the candidates vying for the assembly, and that being in the second district, you know her well as being a town councilwoman out of the great town of Riverhead. Her name is Jody Giglio, of course, and we welcome her. By the way, Jody will be on the Republican line, conservative, independence line as well come November the 3rd. And we welcome her. Jody, how are you?
Good morning. How are you, Jay? How is everyone today on this rainy day?
Yeah, one of those days. Can you believe it? Another day. No. It seems like we've had a ton of rain lately.
Yeah, well, good for the farmers, for sure.
Indeed. 2 weeks out. What is the mindset of a Jody Giglio right now? How's the campaign been going for you?
It's going very well, actually. You know, getting out, talking to voters. People can go on my website, jodyfornewyork.com, and I've been getting a lot of interest in people saying, hey, can you come over and talk to me, and putting up a few people in their home for a small gathering with masks to go and talk about the campaign and talk about what's happening in New York State and Albany with one-party rule, with the Democrats holding the Assembly, the Senate, and the governor, and basically giving the governor authority to run the whole state as if it's a dictatorship. There are no votes on the budget. They're moving money around, or he's moving money around, and no one knows where he's taking it from and where he's putting it to, and whether it's going to what we really need in order for public health, safety, and welfare. I mean, we've seen in New York City where they've defunded the police by $1 billion. We're hearing that Bologna has cut, you know, $20 million from the police budget. And to me, it's not the way to go. So we need to keep our police and keep our neighborhood safe, number one.
Is that the number one concern right now? Is it safety? And when you hear what the folks have to say, is it the overall, you know, their concern taking families out? Is that where we're at right now?
Yeah, crime is up. And, you know, when doing a lot of interviews with Newsday and different news sources, News Review, we're talking about it, and crime is definitely up. It's up this year in Riverhead than it was from last year. And the Suffolk County Jail, which is right in our backyard in the town of Southampton, that jail is had, I think, 1,100 people in November, and now they're down to 500 people. And violent crimes are being committed in Southampton, and then they're being let out, and then they're coming to Riverhead and committing violent crimes, and we're, you know, locking them up and letting them out because our system in Riverhead doesn't talk to Southampton system yet. So we don't know that that person just got locked up for the same thing the day before. And the discretion has been completely taken out of the hands of the judges who know these bad players and know that either they need help in the jail system or they need to be off the streets because they're just bad people. It's really terrible what's happening out here with the bail reform. And one-party rule has not served us well. So it's going to be nearly impossible to take back the assembly this year. But I will be a fierce fighter in Albany for what is happening and inform people when there are laws that are being proposed that who it will affect. So I will be the notification to the communities and to the farms and to the police when they're proposing crazy laws like this, like the bail reform and the repeal of 50A.
50A, man, I'll tell you, wasn't that a fast one, huh? With doors closed and executive action in place. I'll remember that day for a long time. You know, you talk about hopping on that bandwagon. You're right, judges' discretion has been stripped. Rapid disclosure, new discovery requirements. You know, I mean, I tell you, it's a mess. It's an absolute mess. You know, I get a lot of emails, a lot of correspondence regarding, you know, people who are crying as far as, you know, why we are allowing criminals to be pretty much locked up because of COVID and whatnot. But yet, you know, you look at the recent situation of this William Farnham. With the suicide, double homicide deal going on there last week in Belmport. You look at the Jordan, whose name I just forgot for crying out loud, but the Tiffany Harris's of this, Jordan Randolph, that's who it was, the individual who killed Jonathan Maldonado about a year ago on the William Floyd. You know, individuals who, and this was a guy who was drunk, by the way, and he's been incarcerated and been let out a bunch of times. Tiffany Harris, 12 times. The anti-Semitic attacks. And, you know, it's kind of a common sense approach as far as why. You know, somebody brought it up to me last week, too, and it's a great point. Individuals who are incarcerated, you know, get help while they're behind bars. They get the mental rehabilitation and everything else, and they're not getting that if they're let out on the street only to commit these heinous acts. So, you know, one has to really think of it that way, too. The services that have been allotted to these individuals while incarcerated are no more because they're out in the street. So there you
Absolutely.
Go. I mean, that's...
And I have had several meetings before bail reform took place, going back to November of 2019, in meeting with our town justices and in meeting with the sheriff and the undersheriffs and talking about the people that are in jail. And these are not good people. And, you know, you look at Rikers Island with the COVID scares where they were letting these people out on the street. And then you look at the crime rate in New York City. You look at the homelessness. You look at the people that are they're putting up in these, you know, the Regis Hotel in New York City. And those people are now flocking out to Long Island. So I'm hoping that Long Island voters that are seeing a surge from city residents that are coming out here, that those city residents are not going to vote for what they just left, because... We like our suburban way of life. We love our local law enforcement, and our local law enforcement is really struggling through all of this with all the retirements and then the cuts to the budget where there are no replacements. We have so many officers in Riverhead that have retired that are waiting to get into the academy, and there's no date in sight for the academy to go and train these officers. There's no date set. They've been waiting for 6 months. There's no police academy scheduled. So it's almost as if they can't get it one way, they're going to get it another way. And the other way is to not train them at all so that they can't get on the force. And but meanwhile, the mantra is we have to get them trained better and we have to, you know, give them sensitivity training and everything else, which I don't disagree with. But when you hear about, I guess it just happened yesterday, somebody chasing or coming after police officers with a knife and they shot him. It's your life is at risk if somebody has a deadly weapon. And what are you to do if you're a police officer? Now you have to second guess yourself when someone's coming at you with a knife?
Listen, prime example is Fausto Pichardo, chief of patrol within the NYPD, and hanging him up after 11 months on the job. He just doesn't want to do it anymore. You know, how do you work for somebody like a de Blasio who does not embrace cops, nor does the governor? You know, when you think about the governor and everything else, you know, he's kind of a silent participator, but he is the manager of the state, and he has not done himself any favors regarding police and how he's looked upon that of Bill de Blasio running the show in the city into the ground. I mean, that's not good.
And you have to tie every Democratic person that's running for office, every Democrat, you have to tie them to de Blasio and Cuomo, because there's no way that they're going against them. I mean, we saw it with the Long Island Six when it came to bail reform and 50A, repeal of 50A. They voted along with it. And then they said, you know, well, we're in the majority. We can get a lot of things done in Albany. But then when they tried to repeal it, they were unable to do it.
Yeah. And by the way, you know, it's not just a simple tweak here. It is a complete slashing and rebuilding of this stuff. It's
Absolutely.
A complete peeling away of the onion. It's not just, you know, a fix here and a fix there. It's not the way this thing works. Let's change lanes a little bit. You mentioned the advantages and whatnot in the assembly. What is it, 106-42, Senate 40-23. So the odds are, as far as getting a bit of a reversal for the GOPers in Albany, is very slim. How do you go about your business if you get through this finish line for the victory? How does the giggler voice ring large as far as when you make your way up there?
Well, the first thing that I would do is not adopt legislation in the middle of the night without a public hearing or public input or input from the people that it would be affecting the most. So you bring those people along with you to those meetings, to the legislative meetings, to write the letters, to say this is wrong, this is bad. That's what I did in Riverhead as a councilwoman for the last 10 years. It was all five Republican boards for 8 years that I was on the board, and I was often the dissenting vote on bad legislation. Bad legislation that's going to cost taxpayers money when we're operating at a deficit and holding the line on spending. So I would shame them and I would embarrass them to not adopt it. And at every chance I got, whether it was a press conference, whether it was a letter to the editor, and they would start getting inundated with phone calls and the legislation would get shot down. So that's what you have to do, whether it's once you're elected to office, really, all party lines go away, and you represent everybody. And I'm really learning a lot as I'm running for office and talking to all these advocacy groups that have their issues and laws that they're trying to get adopted in Albany. And some I agree with and some I don't, but always respectful. And you can always find common ground on some of the things. But even if you can't commit to the full bill the way it's written. And I tell them, I say, listen, I understand on the common, we agree on this in the bill. But this, to me, is a little extreme. And maybe we can do it this way. And yeah, they like it. You know, they're looking for new, fresh ideas. And some of the things that I proposed, especially with the animal rights activists, are, that didn't work. Well, we tried that. That didn't work. Because they want to ban pet stores throughout New York State. And I said, but I don't agree with that because I think that there are bad actors and I think that there are reputable pet store owners. And so they said, but, you know, families are buying a dog and then a week later the dog is like deathly ill in the veterinarian. So, you know, what I do is I go and I talk to, I said, do you know a family that lost their dog a week later and the kids were devastated? Yes, talk to that family. Okay, who is the chair of the committee? Talk to the chair of the committee in Albany. Okay, who's the veterinarian that, you know, I called my veterinarian and talked to him about it. And he said, yes, it happens. And I said, well, what about a death certificate for dogs so that you know where that dog came from? And if it's continually happening, it's in a database. So you know that pet store is buying animals that are ill and they're selling them to families. And then, you know, you can go after that pet store instead of all of them, painting everything with a broad brush because nothing can be painted with a broad brush. But, you know, I'm solution oriented and getting to the bottom of it and trying to figure out ways to solve it. And they all loved that idea. They thought it was a great idea. So it's things like that that you have to do or think outside the box without just drawing a line in the sand and planting your feet.
Interesting. Jody Giglio vying for the second district assembly seat in New York State. A couple of more for you. By the way, are you for the raising of the years as far as the town supervisor is concerned? We know that's going to be up there. What about the aspect of elevating the term for the town super?
So I voted no for it to go for referendum when Sean Walter was the supervisor, Sean Walter, the Republican. I was the dissenting vote no to make it a four-year term. And I was also the dissenting vote when it came to our Democratic supervisor, our one-term, two-year supervisor that put it up for a four-year term. And I was a no vote on that also. And the reason being is because it's been voted down by the taxpayers three times over the last 20 years. To go to a four-year term for supervisor. And they keep putting it up and keep putting it up, and it keeps getting voted down. So I like the idea of changing the dynamics of the board every 2 years. If you have two Democratic council people and two Republican council people, and you have a Democrat supervisor, every 2 years you can change the supervisor. So the supervisor would then, if it was a Democratic supervisor and you wanted to change it to a Republican supervisor, you could change it to a Republican supervisor if you don't like the direction the town is going in, and then let the Republicans take over for the next 2 years and see how they do. But other than that, you could be on a four-year road to disaster, which is what we had in 2 years with our last supervisor, which, you know, they voted out. It's been very few supervisors who have had a two-year term, and she was one of them.
Interesting. Last one. You know, I've followed you for a long time, you know, working in Riverhead and whatnot, and you've paid the so-called dues as far as being one of the rising stars, at least in my opinion, of politics. Are you primed and ready for this post, if you get it? Are you ready for the battles and everything else that happen in Albany these days?
Yeah, Yeah, you know, I'm not a fighter. As far as yelling and screaming and fighting, I fight with common sense. And I'm hoping that there is some up in Albany. I heard it's not easy to find, but I'm hoping that there will be some. I have been, like I said, elected for the last 10 years, and my record has been validated and revalidated 5 times by the voters of the town of Riverhead, and I've always come out as the top vote-getter for council. So I've been involved in many committees that affect our life here on Long Island and our taxes here on Long Island. And some of the biggest issues, obviously, are the police, the bail reform, and the repeal of 50A. But then we also have a big problem with garbage on Long Island. And being liaison to the sanitation department for the last 10 years, you know, I saw some things in our garbage contract and put it out for bid and ended up saving every taxpayer on their $500 garbage bill every year. Their garbage bill went down to $250 every year for the last, since 2012. So it's being a small business person and recognizing things in contracts that may cost us money or that could be done a different way that are going to save taxpayers money. And like I said, I have my own business since 1997. I'm in the construction industry, construction management. I've supplied materials and overseen construction sites in New York City all the way through Long Island to hospitals and schools. And I'm a proud member of Local 138 Operating Engineers. So I look at the infrastructure on Long Island, and I look at money that's allocated from the state and from the federal government for infrastructure projects that just gets pulled and taken and used for other things because of misspending and because of, you know, poor allocation. I mean, we've seen it with our drinking water funds that we've paid a tax for to preserve our drinking water and our water quality, and that money is being used to offset budget deficits, and it's just wrong. It's a misrepresentation to the taxpayers, and they need better representation in Albany. And I vow to be that voice.
Well said.
Yeah.
Well said, Jody. Go ahead.
Stormwater pollution and, you know, landmarks, historic preservation, and preservation of farmland, and helping our farmers. I mean, these are all big issues for Long Island and for the East End and the North Fork especially. So it's, I have so much knowledge in that and being there for 11 years and attending these all-day seminars with the farmers and attending the meetings with the sewer district. And town of Riverhead, we pulled the trigger on a $24 million sewer upgrade where we're using the discharge from the sewage treatment plant after everything's treated to water the Indian Island Golf Course, and it's being used as a model throughout the nation. So it's a great way to do it rather than pumping it into the bays and pumping it into the rivers. And it's just innovative technology stuff as that and high-paying jobs. You know, we pay a fortune for our kids to be educated here on Long Island, and we send them off. They move to where it's less expensive to live, the taxes are lower, and the jobs are good-paying. So I'm hoping that we will continue down the trail at the former Grumman facility in Calverton to create the high-tech jobs and the aerospace industry, at which there is still a lot of interest in that industry, and coming here to Long Island to, you know, enjoy our beautiful vistas, our golf courses, our farms, and hopefully improve our market values out here and create the much-needed high-paying jobs. Like I said, we spend a fortune educating our kids, and there's nothing here for them. I hope that EPCAL or the former Grumman facility will be the next the Silicon Valley of the East Coast, and that businesses alike and we can retain our kids here so that they can work and stay here.
Sounds good. We will follow your path and hopefully check in with you before the big day. How's that? Can't thank you enough, though, for a couple here.
Sounds great. Thanks for giving me the time, Jay. Have a great day, everyone.